It's good to see all of you here in the house of the Lord, and I invite you to take your Bible and let's turn together to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. We're going to put Genesis on hold for just a while. We, as you know, we've been making our way through that book, and Lord willing, we'll probably come back to that around the first of the year, but we have other truth we want to consider, and this morning, especially a familiar story, that is the nativity story, and a part of it at least, we're going to look at. So let's begin the reading in Luke chapter 1, and we'll begin at verse 26. Luke 1 and verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we stand amazed as we read this, as we come to it again in your word. So grateful for what happened. So thankful for Christ, our Lord and Savior, for his coming to earth, for his birth, for who he is, and for what he came to do. Thank you, Lord, for the songs already of the morning that have so exalted him and exalted you, our Father, and the Holy Spirit, three in one. All the music today has so exalted and lifted you up. And now this text from your word, how it honors you and exalts you. And this is the reason for the season we celebrate, the coming of Christ as a babe. God in human flesh, and to read about it again together this morning. What a blessing to our hearts. What a message to our hearts this morning as we consider Mary receiving the announcement of the angel Gabriel and all that that included, and then to read of her response. What a blessing that is to our hearts. And so take now the message from your word and give us hearts to receive it. And help us, Lord, to take it in into a deep level and then respond in the appropriate way, in a manner that would honor you and a manner that would please you. We pray in Jesus' name, and everybody said, Amen. I think we can all agree that the birth of a baby is a very special event. As you know, we've had a new grandson added to our family. It's a very, very special time for our family, and I want to thank you for all of your prayers, for your support, for your questions about the baby's welfare, and he's doing well. Sarah's doing well, and we've enjoyed that time. Just to hold a little one, it's just hard to top that. And a baby, having a baby is a big deal. We all would agree with that. Amen? You've had them, and now we've had another one. And whether it's a baby or grandbaby, it is a very special event, no doubt about it. But there's one birth above all others, and that is the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The birth of God's Son. God come in human flesh to come to do what only He could do, and that is to live the perfect life and then to die as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. I remember hearing John Maxwell tell a story when he was traveling in Europe one time. He was in a city that had a lot of historical significance, some famous things that happened there. And he asked one of the local residents of this little town, he was a senior citizen, and he said, "Let me ask you a question, sir, if you don't mind." He said, "Fine." He said, "Have any really great men been born here?" And the answer from that old timer was, "No, only babies." And so it is. A little baby is born and we have no idea what he or she will become, what they're here to do. But when we think about this baby, we know without a doubt who he was and what he came to do. None like him. Today I want us to think briefly. We're going to try to keep this short. I think we've heard a sermon already in the music. There's no doubt about that. But I want to summarize, if I can, and yet try to hit the high points of this passage. And I want us to see what Mary saw and hear what Mary heard. And then I want us to come to the last verse and think, as a close to this message, what was her response? So there are two parts here to the message. We'll spend most of our time on the first part, but then the all-important response of Mary. First of all, I want you to notice the announcement of God's plan. The announcement of God's plan. There are four things I want you to note, and again, just the high points. Notice the special assignment for Gabriel. Gabriel, the angel, one of two angels that are named in the Scripture. You have Gabriel and Michael that are given names that we know of. And so this is one of those given a special assignment, and that assignment was an announcement. And so in the sixth month, he comes. Now, that's a reference to what we have read, or we actually didn't read it. It's above, two verses above, in verse 24, where it's speaking there of Elizabeth, who is married to Zechariah, who would give birth to John the Baptist, and she's expecting a child. And it tells us, verse 24, that she had been expecting 5 months, and now this six-month reference has to do with Elizabeth and her expecting John the Baptist. So it's kind of a time frame. It's also mentioned again in verse 36, by the way, where it says this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, speaking there of Elizabeth. And so the time frame was that this was the time, almost at the birth of John the Baptist, when Gabriel was sent to Mary, who was to have an even more special son named Jesus. And so this was an unlikely place. He came to a place called Nazareth. And we read in other places in the Bible that Nazareth was kind of an out-of-the-way place. One person said in Scripture, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" As if to say, how could it possibly be that anyone special, anybody good or notable would ever come out of Nazareth? That's the kind of place that it was. And yet we know that that's where Joseph's home was and Mary's home was. Of course, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but it all starts here with this announcement in Nazareth. And so an unlikely place, and this announcement given to an unlikely person. Just a nobody, we would say, a Mary, unknown, except in her own little circle, her own little world. And that brings us to a second thought we see prominent in the passage, and that is a special blessing for Mary. A special blessing would come her way. We're introduced to her in verse 27, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her, verse 28 tells us, and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored." And we need to be careful that we understand what that means. It's the word for grace. And unlike what the Catholics have taught down through the centuries and still teach, they know, as you or you may not know, they pray, "Hail Mary, full of grace," pointing back to this. But this does not mean that Mary was a special dispenser of grace, as if she had a big supply of grace and you ought to come to her and she's going to give you the grace that you need. That's to miss the point entirely. It's not that she is a dispenser of grace, but a recipient of grace. That she is on the receiving end of God's grace. So she is highly favored or given grace. The Lord is with thee. Think of that, the special presence of the Lord. And indeed, she is blessed among women, none like her. And it wasn't because of who she was, it was because of what God made of her and did through her. Again, in verse 30, we read the same word in a different form. "Fear not, Mary," verse 30, "for thou hast found favor." The word favor means grace. Same word that's mentioned, same root at least mentioned in verse 28. So a special assignment for Gabriel, a special blessing for Mary. She would be blessed. She would receive God's grace in a very special way to do what she was called upon to do. And then we read, and this is no doubt the highlight of the whole passage, a special purpose for her son. And it's mentioned in several ways. First of all, with his name, verse 31, "Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." And you know the name Jesus means Savior, or Jehovah saves. So the name Jesus indicates the very purpose for which he came, to save us from our sins. He would be great. That word great, you know, great is just so much used in the world. Everything's great, from the meal we eat to the game we saw to this to that. This word great means extraordinary, and truly Christ is that. It means magnificent, and certainly he is that. He's the Son of the Highest. That's another way to say he's the Son of God, the very Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, that is one of a kind, unique. There's no other like him. No other one has that title and has that nature as the Son of God. Only our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he would reign. He would be a king. He would be a part of a kingdom that would have no end. That is, his kingdom, his reign would last forever. And then a special plan for his birth. Let's not mention that as a highlight in the text. A special plan involved Mary, who was a virgin, conceiving, unheard of. In fact, Mary, she understood that in verse 34. Then said Mary to the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Now, she was espoused to a man. She was engaged to a man, similar to our engagement, only it was more binding. It was a very, very serious matter. But she had not consummated that relationship with Joseph, not at all. She was a virgin. She was pure. And so she asked a legitimate question. How can it be that I'll have a baby? Because I'm not yet fully married to this man to whom I am espoused or engaged. The angel knew how it would happen. No doubt God had revealed this to him and said in verse 35, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest," that is the power of God, "shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Now, when we think about the virgin birth, that is a miracle all to itself. There was never one like it before. There will never be another one again. This is a one-of-a-kind miracle. And as far as Scripture goes, this is as far as we can go into it. This is the most information that we have about it. This is the deepest that we can penetrate into this mystery of how the Son of God, eternal though He was, entered into this world through a virgin womb. It was because the Holy Spirit overpowered her, overshadowed her, and then conceived within her the Son of God. God in human flesh. And all of that is important. It's not just for a theologian to consider. It's not just for a scholar to consider. It's for all of us to consider. It's for all of us to ponder and to wonder, since it's such a miracle. And what's at stake here is the very nature of Christ. Virgin born so that He could be at the same time 100% God, 100% man. He could be fully human and fully God. He could be fully man with not only a human body, little though He was, and then growing and developing as He did, fully human with a fully human nature. And we read about that in Scripture. We know He was tired. We know He was hungry. We know He could weep. All the things that are human, and yet no taint of sin, because He was virgin born. And the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary in such a way there was no sin passed on through her or anyone else, for that matter, into this precious, pure, holy one, the Son of God. So a special plan. And here she's learning about it. And so she knows this is a miracle. And she needs to be bolstered and encouraged that this is going to happen just like God says that it would happen. And so verse 36, 37 kind of reinforce and help her to have faith and to believe. Let's just read those verses. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, that is, Elizabeth had not had any children. And we know that that is in God's purview and God's control. But now He had given her a special blessing, although not a virgin conception, a normal type of childbearing. But then verse 37, the reminder that Mary certainly needed and welcomed, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Rest assured, the angel says, in other words, it's going to happen. Look what's happening with your cousin Elizabeth. They thought she was past childbearing. She's having a son, and you will have this special son. Now let's move, and we'll spend a little time here, not long, we don't have much time, but this will be the most important thing as far as application goes to you and me. And that is, I want you to see not only the announcement of God's plan, but I want you to see in verse 38, the acceptance of God's will. The acceptance of God's will. What was Mary's response? And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. That is, exactly what you have said, Gabriel, let it be according to your word. What a marvelous thing. Then the angel departed from her. I want us to notice here just a couple of the details and then make some application. This word handmaid is a word that may not register in our hearts. It's the female form of a bondservant. Or the word is the same as the word used of a slave, a female slave. So this is what she's saying, I'm a female servant. She saw herself in this moment in the way that we all need to see ourselves. So important to understand this. She said, I'm the servant of the Lord. If He needs me for this, if He wants to use me in this way, that's why I'm here. I'm available. I want to be used. In other words, she's saying, I belong to the Lord as his servant. I'll do whatever he says. May his will be done in me and through me as you have said. That is, according to thy word. That's the heart of Mary. That's the spirit of Christmas. You want to know what the spirit of Christmas is? It's not all the merriment, though there's nothing wrong with that. But surely it's something deeper than that, something more important than that. And it is, it's a spirit that's willing to do the will of God. It is a submissive heart. It is a reverent heart. It is an obedient heart. That's at the center of the Christmas story. And not only is it found in Mary, but let me remind you, this was always in the heart of Christ himself. You could go to the Gospel of John and you will find a statement like this more than once. But I'm going to just give you one verse that you will find in the Gospel of John. Many like it, as I say. John 6:38, this is what Jesus said of himself. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. That's the spirit of Christmas. That's the spirit of Mary. That's the spirit of Christ himself. Someone wrote a song, and you know it, and when I start to read it, you'll know the tune, I'm sure. It's called Mary, Did You Know? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. Did Mary know all of that? Probably not. How could she? But here's the point. She did know something, that she would bear the Son of God. And she did know this was God's will. And here's the point for us. She consented to God's will, not her own. I think we sometimes miss the fact that when she said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word, she knew what that involved. We don't have time to explore that fully, but I think just to think about it a little would serve us well. She would be a mother of a child and yet not be a fully wedded mother. That is, the marriage had not taken place. Just think the scandal, the disgrace at that time and that place and that culture. She would be a marked woman. All kinds of rumors would fly, and certainly they did. It would put her in a very hard spot. Because she and then Joseph alone would know how all this came about. But yet, she was willing to do God's will. That's all that mattered. She surrendered her life to obey God. She did what the New Testament refers to as being a living sacrifice. That's exactly what she did. And if we're going to follow in Mary's steps and have anything of the spirit of Christmas, that's what we're called upon to do with our lives, to do just what she did. Lord, I'm available. If this is what you want for my life, whatever that may be, it won't be like Mary, of course. But God has a plan for your life, you know that? He has a plan for my life. And it involves doing his will. That's what it involves. Whatever that will may involve. It certainly involves being forgiven of our sins and knowing Him and spending eternity with Him one day. But it means so much more. It means living for Him and submitting to Him and yielding to Him in the meantime. Giving our lives, just like Mary said, the handmaid of the Lord, the servant of the Lord. If Christmas is anything, it's a time to commit our will to the will of God. Yes, it's a time to have fun. It's a time to enjoy the lights and the scenery and the songs and the gifts and all that. But if that's all it is, and we miss the point of submission and obedience and honoring God with our lives, then we've missed the spirit of Christmas. Can I tell you in closing, I believe all of us would probably agree we'd want to go to heaven one day. Wouldn't you agree? Say amen. Can I tell you this? Heaven is not a place for rebels. Heaven will not be populated by those who said, I want heaven, but I don't want your will, God. Thank you for heaven, but no thanks to whatever your will is for my life. That's not going to be for people like that. There is a place for people like that who say no to the will of God, and it's called hell. Hell is a place for rebels. Heaven is a place for people who submit to the will of God, who understand who God is, and who understand who they are, and they understand their need of mercy, and their need of pardon, and their need of a Savior, and their need to fear this God. That's what